Your soul, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. She gets shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can you hit, is it a G? Does it end on a G? Will you just hit that very last on that?
Hallelujah.
And you hit the G with it, like quietly, just to give it a little, just to, it's the chef sprinkling salt. It is so good. Do you know what I'm talking about? You guys got me, right? Thanks. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, man. Cool. Let's come back at 9:30. Is that okay? It's 12 minutes from now. Come on. Who's the deepest voice? Who can open today's service saying, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash"?
Swing low, sweet chariot, come on to carry me home. Come on to carry me home.
What's up, Sarah? How are you? The Lord. How's it going today?
Good.
I'm glad to hear it. I do. Of course I do. Three in the morning. What time? Sheesh. Yeah, man. I did 5:30 and thought that was early. Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the song? What's it called?
It's called War Cry.
War Cry?
Oh my gosh, you're gonna love it. You wanna hear it?
Sure. You'll have to share it so I don't make those decisions. Zach does. But I'd love to hear it. I'm not sure what the daggone thing around here.
Dang it, hear it. Goes to school.
Do I know this person?
No.
But how would I take a guess? I don't know. Noelle?
No.
Nate. Is it a girl?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know Mary is the Capernaum person for over there.
Yeah.
If you met Mary, you've met Mary. Right? Or talking Mary on the phone, maybe? Oh, is it Matt?
No. Actually, she is part of the Red Party's program.
Oh, Laura. Yeah, I don't know. But that's awesome for you. I'm glad.
Yeah, but she's way younger than I am, 17.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how am I going to deal with a teenager?
Oh, they're fun. Teenagers are the best.
Lily's.
Then they are.
I got to go put this somewhere.
Yeah.
What? Of course. That's right.
So Lily's in.
That's right. Now,
see, I'm desperate.
Yeah, I know. Is that
right?
Yeah. Well, now we have, here's what we're going to see, ready? Because here's what I thought is wrong. That if I know Larry, I guess it just says testimony. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's really good. Because I can see Larry putting, like, testimony. It's like, are you excited to share yours?
Very excited. I'm excited to try to keep it within 10 minutes.
Yeah? You have it written down?
Yeah.
That's good. And you'll be okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Cowboys, it's like you freaking gave Micah Parsons away.
He killed it. Well, and that's what he does.
And he saved the touchdown.
That's the problem, is Dak Prescott plays the games of his life during the regular season. And then he gets to the playoffs and he's done. Defender. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Blown out today, so it's okay.
And we're still
going to win the game. CD dropped balls. Freaking. My fantasy roster, though, I still got a lot of points. Do you play fantasy football? Next year. Some people will, and so that's the problem, is some people are obsessed, and I'm like, okay, it's a game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Larry, sorry about your Cowboys, man. Moment of silence for Larry Davis and the Cowboys. He's not even paying attention. He didn't even care. Nick, who do you like? What team do you like? You Ravens? Patriots. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I hope they're going to be good this year.
Are they?
I think so. Drake May is a good quarterback, and they got a new freaking coach who knows what he's doing
because
they took him from the Titans. Oh, shit.
Dude, when I was out in Massachusetts, I saw the whole Patriots jogging. I was on Nantucket, and Tom Brady was, like, leading it and stuff. And I didn't like football back then, but out in
Massachusetts. Yeah. All right. Let's do this thing. Where's Carl? Carl!
Carl.
Hello,
Johnny Cash.
They should have never gave us microphones.
Carl. Guys, let's sing Carl's name in harmony together on three.
Carl.
What is happening here?
Welcome back. Are the lyrics ready? Lyricist. Are the lyrics ready?
Yeah, I was gonna say five is late. Five is late. The disciples are already there when the Sermon on the Mount happens. No, I love it. What joke did they put on? What happened? That's hysterical. What joke? Who put a joke on you?
It was before baptism.
Absolutely hilarious. So was it a joke or was it on purpose?
I think it was on purpose. I don't remember here. They said it was on purpose.
I mean, take me to the water. All right. All right. It's not chlorinated, Nick. Hey, do you pee in the shower? Everybody does? Okay, good. Just making sure. Not just me. All right, here we go. Let's play gratitude.
All my words
gonna invite all the guys up.
I've got nothing.
Is that true? You're gonna invite all the guys up for this song?
How could I express?
I'll ask afterwards. You're good.
All my gratitude. I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on my soul, oh don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you bringing up all the guys for that song? We'll be right back.
that they should not make their decision to come to this church just because their members are not, that we would partner with Fisher Men either way because we saw the fruit of God's ministry and their work and wanted to partner with that. Now, it comes out of Matthew 4, if you want to open your Bible, 19. It's also repeated in Mark 1:17. A great quote. Jesus was calling people to follow him, and he'd been hanging out in an area of the world where they were. And as he was hanging out in that area, he went to some people that most people would have overlooked, honestly, fishermen and laborers. He found it. Good job, Doug. My new sound guy is amazing. Yeah, good job. He's on the team. And he came to them and he said, hey, come and follow me. And then he has this great statement in both those texts where he says, and I will what? Make you fishers of men. Yeah. Now, what you don't know, and I want to share this with you before Frank shares a little bit of his story and then introduces our first testimony, is that in Jesus' world, you had two paths you could follow, and that was it. If you wanted to go further in education, you had to become a rabbi. And when you got to the age, which was usually about the same age you had had your bar mitzvah, becoming a man or a woman, you would say, hey, I want to go further in education. You go to your rabbi, and you would say, I want to learn more. And they would say, okay, good. Since you want to learn more about the Bible and become a more educated person, come, follow me. It's the exact phrase they would use. And then they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Meaning that you would follow so closely in discipleship in their steps that you'd be covered by the dust of their steps as they walked. That's what making a disciple means, is teaching someone how to walk like Jesus, following after them. But if they think you weren't good enough, they would say, I'm glad you applied. Go apply your father's trade. Which means if your daddy was a fisherman, go fish. If your daddy was a carpenter. And that meant, go do that. But you can't really go further in education. Now what's unusual is Jesus goes to a group of people who are doing what? They're fishing. So they were applying their father's trade. And he takes the people that the most educated in the world said, you're not good enough. And he specifically grabbed them and said, follow me. Now, I want you to hear that because Jesus loves to still do that. And what it means to be a fisher of men is when you're looking out to all the world is to say, I wonder who Jesus is still calling to come after him. Amen?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. And thank you, Grace Church, for just welcoming us and the fishers of men and being so gracious, as church explains. but we have a slideshow. If you just want to roll through that, I'm not going to take up too much time. But we started the Fishers of Men out of a retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. And it's a weekend experience, and my wife went wanted to go, and she asked me to go, and I didn't want to, but she made me. So... but when I got there, it changed my life because it was just guys sharing their faith. It wasn't a church setting. It was sitting at tables and small groups and things, and it was really impactful on my life. And I gave my life to Christ on that weekend. And then I met another guy on that weekend who we started on another weekend where we were serving, talking about, let's host a retreat for guys in recovery because I've been sober 35 years and at that time was, I guess, about 20 years and he was about 17 years sober. And we talked about, in recovery, they talk about worshiping a God of your own understanding, which is the AA kind of principle and NA. And, you know, I still go to those fellowships and that's where we do a lot of fishing, fishing for men. But what I found was it only carried me so far. And when I got that relationship with Jesus, it just, you know, I found what I was looking for, all those things that I tried to find through, you know, drugs and alcohol at first, and then success and selfish ambition and, you know, all kinds of other situations that I really became addicted to. But anyway, we started these retreats in 2010, and we've been doing them for 15 years. And we, after about 12 years, we got rained on, kind of like today. It was just, we got poured upon one weekend, and we prayed on it, and we thought, it'd be really nice if we had a building, because we were doing this in tents. We had a little tiny house on the island with like an 8x8 kitchen, and the retreats had grown to about 50 people. And we formed a nonprofit called the Fishermen Foundation. We started raising money to build a retreat house. And the retreat house got finished last fall. And as many of you know, it caught fire in January. And we had to rebuild. We're in the process of getting permits. So pray for us on that. We're getting a lot of pushback from the county. We kind of kept it on a down low, if you will, with the building. And now that we're under a microscope, trying to get the permits to house 50 to 70 people on a weekend it's become difficult. So pray for us on that. But when we were looking for a church, I'm going to introduce Zach here. This guy was attending here and had just started. He came to the island. I'm not going to share his testimony, but him and his whole family were baptized on the island, which was pretty cool. And so Zach, every time he would talk about Grace, his eyes would just light up, and he'd say, "You need to come to Grace. You need to come check it out." And we were at another church for 30 years, and that's a whole other story why we left. But when we started looking around, you could just see what was going on in his life and the way he was just being filled up by Pastor Larry and the fellowship here and how welcoming everybody was. And so when we came, we just felt right at home. I think this was the first church we checked out, and we went to about 10 other churches because Lan was like, you know, we just kind of, her and her family, she grew up at our other church, and, you know, it was a really hard decision to leave. So she was like, "I want to go check everything out." So Zach was right. This place is awesome, and everybody in here has just been so welcoming and so generous to us and all of our brothers and sisters with Fishers and Men. So I'm just going to I'm going to be around after the service. If anybody has any questions about how you can help out, volunteer, mentor, there's so many ways you could help us. We're going to be rebuilding eventually when we get the permits. But anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Zach and let him tell the rest of his story.
Good morning, Grace. How are we doing? I just want to say how thankful and grateful I am for you guys. Like when we first get saved and it's time for us to walk with Jesus, there is evidence all around us that you run into, that you see, and you guys are part of it. This is part of my sobriety. You guys are part of my growth in Jesus. And I love you for it, and I'm so thankful and grateful to come up here and sing and worship with you guys every Sunday. I look forward to it. I worship every day, but I long to come here. So that being said, 3 years ago, I was a very, very broken man, and I was desperate for the fact that I was about ready to lose it all. My son wanted nothing to do with me. He was afraid of me, actually. Called his grandfather up and said, I'm afraid of my dad. I don't want him to come home anymore." And he didn't want anything to do with me, neither did my other boy. And my wife was this close to leaving because I was a falling down, blackout drunk. And I had been our whole marriage, and I had been all the way since I was about 15 years old. It just progressed, got worse, and then it got a little better, and then it got worse. It was like, no matter what I did, I tried to do everything on my own, and it always ended up with me being in the gutter. Always. So I only got like 5 minutes to share, so I'm just going to try to keep this short and tell you what Jesus did for me. Frank gives me a call. My wife had started working for him. He said, "Hey, this is God, by the way." He goes, "Hey, I have this AA meeting. Would you like to come?" And my whole life, I've always pushed that stuff away. "I don't need this. I don't need that." But I didn't this time because I was truly at my bottom. And if something didn't work, I was either going to kill myself, lose my home. Something bad was just going to happen to me. So we got to the, I answered that call, went to AA, and I was kind of scared, but everything, when I came in there, I saw the guys from the ministry, and they just embraced me. And I saw people that had worse lie, led a worse life than I did, and they had this light about them, this glow. And so Frank's like, hey, we got this retreat coming up. We go to this island. Would you like to come? And at this point of my life, I am surrendering to everything. I got to the point where I didn't even want to pick up a guitar again because I thought it would lead me back into the clubs and bars. So I had stopped that. So when we got to the island, as soon as I get there, Frank's like, hey, man, I heard you play guitar. One of our guitar players didn't make it. Can you fill in? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? So mind you, I'm in a full point of surrender. So I'm saying yes to everything. Yes to my wife. Yes to Frank. Yes to, I don't need, know these people. I'm saying yes. I need something to happen, something to change. And I knew about God my whole life. You know, I've been to different churches, and I kind of believed, but I didn't like them. In fact, I hated them. And I thought I could just do everything on my own. And that's what brought me to my knees. So when I got to that island, I said, God, if you're real, I need you. I need Jesus. I need to just admit that I am broken and that I need your help. And I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead on the third day. And I just want you in my life. I want to accept this undeserving gift of salvation that you give, and I can't believe you're giving it to me. And once, I was just like, I'm going to follow you. And once I said that, and we have this prayer time, quiet time, the next time we sat in worship, I started playing the song, and all the guys are sitting in this living room, and it was just like this setting when I was 6 years old. It was the happiest time of my life. My dad played guitar, my mom played the piano, my aunt played the flute, and my uncle played the guitar, and I would run around playing air guitar and singing, you know, and I was like, and it was the happiest time. Well, whenever we started playing, I wasn't thinking about that time. I didn't even recollect it. For years, I went right back to that moment. And it was just like this peace, this weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. And I had been given, it was incredibly, incredibly, I don't even know how to explain it, but I just know that it was Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit. I had given my whole heart to him. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And I did. And I told myself, I am going to hold on to this. I am never going to let it go. And I'm going to do what I can to just keep, stay hungry for it and grow in it. And I was a little scared because I knew I had changed. I was going to go home, and I'm on fire, mind you. And I'm like, is my wife going to divorce me or something? Because I just went from singing Slayer to Brandon Lake. You know, I am worshiping. I mean, I can't stop singing. I'm going home. I'm picking up my guitar. I'm singing. And next thing I know, all the things that I was thinking was going to happen didn't. And it was almost like God just telling me, hey, go home and worship, trust me. You know, I actually left, I was in a family church, and I was afraid to leave that church because, you know, the church was in my family. I grew up going to there. But God had another church for me. That church wasn't going to help me grow. This one was. So I was starting to get signs. Like, Cole never wanted to go to church, couldn't stand going to church. And he's like, Dad, we got to go to Grace. I'm like, oh boy. So when I got to talk, I got to have this conversation with my grandfather. And I put it off. And the longer I put it off, the louder he got in my ear. So we're the last service that I went to at First Baptist Laurel, it was on the radio. Answer the call. And then we didn't have a pastor at the time. So his message was about answering the call. I'm like, and my wife's looking at me like, all right, we got to go to Grace. So we did. And the next thing I know, this was me fighting God. I don't need to go. I don't want to change churches. Well, I listened to him, And now my son and I have the greatest relationship that we've ever had. I love my wife more than I did when I first met her. And I went from being in this, like, evil, hard rock world to leading worship. I'm telling you guys, just put your walls down. Let down your guard and let him take us, because we are meant to follow him. He is the missing piece. When we want to pick up that bottle, we want to pick up whatever it is, this worldly thing that we hold on to, that is keeping us from growing in God. And we are born to grow in God. We are born to... I love that new song, Heaven... Homesick for Heaven, because we all are. We are all long for that moment to spend with Jesus. He's here. He's in our hearts. He's all around us. We see it. I see it in this church. But I'm talking heavenly worship. Heavenly presence. It's an incredible thing. So just put whatever, just let your guard down, guys, and let God in. And that's pretty much, I don't have much to share. I don't have a lot of time, but that's what I got. So thank you. Love you guys.
We have one other short testimony. And one thing the church did even before Fishers and Men came here is Grace has been hosting the Code Purple for the women for a few years now. And one of the things we did with Fishers and Men, during COVID, a lot of the recovery houses started shutting down in Seaford, and there was like five of them, and you know, they were closing down, and a lot of the guys that we were helping were in these houses. So last year we thought, okay, we're about done with the retreat house, and you know, we're gonna let's open a recovery house. So we did last April of 24, and then we quickly outgrew that, and then last fall or last winter we started talking to the church about running the parsonage. And you know, we just showed up, I think, in like October, November is when we first started officially attending and became members. And just even with that, when I talk about all the church does to help us, you know, it's just been a blessing. We have eight guys in the house across the parking lot, and you know, a lot of them are here most of them are here every Sunday. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. But then in end of January, four of the ladies from the Code Purple got baptized. And I told my wife, I said, honey, it's great, we're doing a lot for the men, but what are we going to do for these women? And I said, I feel like we need to open a women's house. And so the next day, one of the properties we manage came available. I talked to the owner, and he agreed to rent it to the Fishers and Men, and we had the women. All of those ladies, we didn't have to open the shelter up the next night. So it was like within 3 days, and all the guys got together, painted that house, and fixed it up, and the ladies moved in there. I think they got baptized on Sunday, and they were in a home on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. And no, it was like 3 days later. Yeah, they got baptized on Sunday. Monday I talked to the owner, we did the lease, fixed it up. They were moved in by Wednesday. But anyway, one of the ladies is going to share a little bit. Come on up, Lily. She's...
God is good.
All the time.
Oh, thank you. Woo. So, and he is really good, and so I have 5 minutes. I just want to say that I am a person that is very, like, I'm very simple. I don't really talk to a lot of people, never really asked anything from anybody, but that was the issue. then I finally learned to just let everything go and let God, and He can change anything instantly. Like he was saying, you know, we were in Code Purple, you know, sleeping in our little, what do you call those things? Cuts. To have in a house, you know, and when you let God into your life and just let it flow, everything comes back to you. Like I got my old job back, you know, my kids are back in my life. And I'm just so grateful to God, you know, when he says, you know, come to me and I will renew a new spirit in you, that is facts, because I am no longer the same person. I'm wearing all black because I'm mourning my old self, you know, because I want nothing to do with her but everything to do with the future me for my kids. I want to be a godly woman for my kids and, you know, godly woman in general. I want the world to see God in me. And I'm just very thankful and grateful to everyone here and to Frank, to Leanne, and everybody that's been, you know, giving us hopes and encouragement and kind words. And God is good, and he can rise the dead and make them live again. And that's all I got to say. Amen. Thank you.
So, like I said, we have 22 beds altogether through our organization, and I'll be around after the service to share any more. And if anyone has an interest in helping out in any ways, we have people who need rides and, you know, mentors. We have a Bible study here on Tuesday nights that anybody from the church is welcome to attend. We have a testimony every week from somebody in the fellowship, or even people outside can come in and offer testimony. So, you know, thank you for giving us this time this morning just to share more about what we're all doing. It's not just me. It's, you know, it really truly takes a huge team effort, and this church has been so supportive, and mostly we just want to say thank you for all you've done to help us. So we appreciate that.
Hang on a second.
Oh, okay. All right. In our ladies' home as well, and Bo was part of our men's discipleship house, and he's going to do the dunking today. So, Amber, yes. Do you believe that Jesus died for you?
I do.
Do you repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you accept the gift of salvation he freely gives you? Will you trust him and follow him the rest of your life?
Yes, I
will. Then Bo is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Hang on, before we start, I just want to say the hardest thing I had to do when I came to Christ was to be grateful. And if you remember, Frank, it was the first thing I said to you when you pulled me off the streets. I was the homeless guy out there holding the sign that said, "The King is coming." So I was trying to be obedient, but in my obedience, I begged God to kill me every day. I was suicidal. I wanted to die. And he sent me Frank. And he's a literalist. God said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And that's exactly what he did. And today I'm grateful for the work he's doing.